Good morning. Before we start the service this morning, there are two people who'd like to come and say a few words. So if I could ask Krista to come up first, and then Joanne's going to say something, and then I'll give the notices.
Good morning, all. I'm standing here with a glad heart, a really grateful heart, because the Lord answered a big prayer. Not only I prayed for my granddaughter, Chloe, to receive a place of her own, because she has such a sad history, and it wasn't her fault. Some of you know the history of why she had been evicted, but the Lord has found her a new place. She's got the keys last Friday, and you should have seen her face. And mine. It's in Nuneaton, but it's temporary. And they find a place for her where she wants to go to in Leamington. And St. Basil's has taken her under their wings, and they have been absolutely marvelous. Thanks a lot. Bless you all. Thank you.
Some of you may know, but most of you probably don't. I will be involved in a short-term outreach with a group called Operation Mobilization, and they run lots of different outreaches all over the world, but this one I thought manageable, so I signed up for that. So I'll be there with a team of 11 people, including myself, in the Hebrides on the island of Lewis. Now, it is actually a big thing, because I started out, you know, with OM in the 70s, the way back in the 70s. I've served on the ship Logos, and then went with them and worked with OM in India. So that was long, long time ago. That was history. So I started out with OM in the 70s, and now that I'm in my 70s, actually, I like to make a new commitment to continue serving the Lord, and this won't be my swan song in missions, right? Hopefully, it's a taste of getting back to that, working with other people in the team. So I value your prayer. So what we'll be doing in Hebrides is we'll be having children's programs. Much of that has been curtailed because new laws in Scotland says that you must have your DBS clearance from Scotland. So I have DBS, enhanced DBS clearance in England, but that's not good enough for Scotland. So they have to, they will have to reinvent some new things to do. But most of the time we'll be doing door-to-door, going door-to-door. Now, door-to-door, you know, it's actually very different in the little islands in Scotland, because it's a very isolated community and all that. So, and some people are actually, like, quite lonely and isolated. So they will actually welcome people to... praying that there'll be lots of opportunities to talk about the Lord. Now, in the islands in Scotland, there's actually very strong Christian tradition. But, of course, then that generation is dying away, you know, and lots of young people have moved out to seek better job prospects and all that. So there is still a thriving population there. But there are still many who are unreached. You know, for the church, it's the Church of Scotland it's a free church. So people are either churchgoers or non-churchgoers. So the aim is actually to reach out to the non-church goers and then incorporate them into the local church, and for the church goers actually to kind of like reawaken, because there have been several revivals in Scotland in the past, in the 30s. So, you know, it was actually OM's hope is to actually link up with the churches and then reawaken the church there. So items for me to pray for me personally is that my legs won't give way. You know, some of you know that I have problems with my ankles, and I had surgery in the past and I had to be in wheelchair and walking. Thank the Lord I'm walking again. But I can't take that for granted, because in fact it was due for an injection in my ankle this week, but I refuse. I kind of postponed it because I didn't want there any complications, then I can't go on this mission, so I kind of postponed it. So there'll be for my legs, that my legs will keep me going, and then also for working with people in a team. So it's, as I said, I was with OM in the 70s, and OM has changed, and I have changed. You know, so it's actually very important that we work together as a united force for the Lord. So that's and also pray for the churches, because they did that for 2 years. You know, for the last 2 years, the outreach, and it's been actually very good. So it's a different church that's in hosting us now, but we pray that the church will continue to keep the work and keep the people that get introduced into the church, instead of being them and us. Okay, so that's all I want to say. So I appreciate your prayer.
Would it be a good idea that we pray now and send her out as it was from you? I'm just making that suggestion. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I need prayer.
Lord, we pray for our friend that she may be blessed.
We give her strong ankles. We pray, Lord, that you bless her with words to say and actions to do. Lord, bless her as we send her from here with that great organisation of OM. Bless her and the other team members. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you, Krista and Joanne, for sharing with us. The notice for the coming week are as follows. The prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m, and that will be on Zoom on Wednesday. The church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall on Friday, alongside the craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by Jeff Pinniger at 11 a.m, and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. They're all the notices for this week, and it's my privilege and pleasure, to welcome Peter to our service this morning. It's nice to have you back in amongst us again, Peter, and also Sue. It's nice to have you with us as well. I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Some years ago, when we were hearing about OM, I remember being down in London when the Logos came under the bridge, the Tower Bridge there, and several of us went up from Somerset to welcome Logos into the city, and I remember it vividly. That would be way back in the late 60s, probably. However, it's good to be here. Nice to see new people, new faces for us, for me, and I'm praising God for all that's happening here. And it's actually special in another way that Stuart and Chris, in not this week, but next week, I think, is their golden wedding anniversary. Is that right? You're a couple of years behind us, but that doesn't matter. That's okay. But congratulations, and we pray that God will bless you on your. You're going on a holiday for it, are you? Or going away?
Yeah, with all the family.
Well done. Okay. So that's great to hear the great things that are happening. I'm just thrilled to bits that God is blessing you in the way He is, and blessing you as individuals, I pray. Right. We're going to have a prayer to start with, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the blessings that you bring to us day by day. But also, Lord, thank you that you give us the courage to continue when things aren't going so well. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us and that we will rejoice in your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing, All Heaven Declares. Let's spend some more time in prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this place where we can come freely to worship you. Thank you that you are Lord of our lives. You're the one on the throne. And we bless your holy name. Father, we come before you, not with any confidence in our own abilities, but always confident in your abilities to use us for your kingdom's sake. We pray, Lord, that in our weakness you will be made obvious to the world, that you will use what we have to glorify your name, and that we may see you, hear you, respond to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing again, To Be in Your Presence, To Be in Your Presence. Number 1067, I think it is, yes.
Thank you.
I think a measure of fellowship sometimes is that people stay behind afterwards and talk and talk and talk and carry on talking as they go out the door as well. But I think that's a good measure. So we don't try to throw people out. People should stay and talk. And I don't know, making life difficult for those who lock up afterwards. But it's important that we spend time talking together. We're going to take up an offering now, please. Father God, we give you these gifts with our love, asking that you will use them here for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got one or two readings, just little bits from here and there. Well, actually, one of them could be very long, but it won't be. So... So I want just to read a verse from 2 Chronicles. We don't usually, not many of us look at 2 Chronicles, do we, very often? There it is. So I'll read it from there, shall I? When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. Then I shut up the heavens so that there was no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And then we're going to turn to the second one, which is Acts chapter 2. And we're going to... This is a great story, isn't it? I love this reading this story again. It's only a little while ago that we, in our... calendar year, the church calendar year, that we read this, I'm sure. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? I just wonder how they knew that, because Galileans must have had a strong accent, a bit like Coventry accent, is it? However, okay. Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. We heard them declaring the words, wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Okay. And then We're looking at Acts chapter 4 and verses 23 to 31, I think it is, yes. 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it, in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servants, servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When we lived in London quite a while ago, quite a few years back now, we were in a prayer meeting in the mission that we were at, and our place was shaken. But it wasn't necessarily as effect of the prayers. There was an IRA bomb that had just gone off outside Pentonville Prison, which was just up the road from us. But we looked after people that night, or a woman that night, whose house had been destroyed almost as a result of that bomb. But it did hit us hard. And that woman said to us afterwards, we heard the bomb go off. She was at a prayer meeting at the Catholic Church that night, and she said we were praying for all those that had been affected badly by the bomb. She didn't realise she was praying for herself, as her house windows were all smashed in. But that's the only time that I can say for me the place was shaken physically when I was in a prayer meeting, but it wasn't necessarily what it just happened. But can you imagine being in a prayer meeting in that little room there or wherever you meet now, and the place where you meet, somebody's house, is shaken through prayer? We'll be talking about prayer. That's the main thought for us this morning. Do you remember that old hymn? Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, behold, he prays. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Although by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hast trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Okay, let's sing again. Lord, I come to you. It's number 895 in Songs of Fellowship.
Thank you.
We were fortunate enough last night to have a phone call from Audrey White just to say she wouldn't be here. I know she's had a difficult time just recently, so we need to pray for her, and Monica has passed on her apologies today, so she won't be here. But I'm sure there are other people that would love to have been here this morning and would love to come and be blessed with you. So we'll just remember people's names, shall we? Lynn as well, of course, yes. We're remembering people. If you just call out names and we'll pray for individuals, shall we? Let's do that. We'll pray for Lynn straight away. Let's pray for Lynn. Lord, we thank you for Lynn. We thank you for her life, for her enthusiasm for life. We just pray now that you'll be with her and help her through these days, that she may know your strength today and tomorrow and your blessing in her life. We pray for the family around her, that they may also find your blessing as they support and care for Lynn. We pray for Audrey. We pray that you'll be with her as she recovers. We pray for Monica as she feels dizzy. We pray that you'll bless her and give her steady feet to stand up for you. Now, any other names that you'd like to...
Terry and somebody...
June and Terry, we'll remember them. We pray for Terry. We pray, Lord, that you bless him. Bless him for whatever reason he needs your blessing at this time. We ask, Lord, that you'll help him as he faces life in all its fullness, that he may turn more and more to depend upon you. We pray for June. We pray her for whatever her need is this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you'll encourage her, help her, heal and strengthen in Jesus' name. Any others?
Pauline.
John Kemp. Yeah, okay. We pray for John. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with him now, that you will encourage him also, that he may find your presence to be a real help, an encouragement and an uplift. And we pray for Pauline as she is cared for. We pray that those who care for her may be faithful to you in their love and the way they care. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless Pauline in her life at this moment, at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Any others?
Just to let you know, Terry Osborne, some know because she's preached here, who passed away last weekend.
Okay, so we're praying for his family. Sorry, I didn't know that bit. So we're praying for his family. That was a prayer for his family then. Yes, anybody?
Lucy,
okay. I'm going to pray for Terry's family, that you bless them in their loss. Pray for Lucy, whatever the situation that Lucy is facing. Lord, bless her, encourage her. We pray for the world in which we live. We pray for an end to war and an end to destruction, an end to starvation, an end to... Lord, there's so many awful things happening. We see what's continuing to happen in Israel and in the Gaza Strip. We see what's happening also in Ukraine and other parts in Africa. We know there are many places there where there is war, where there is disturbance, and in South America too. And sometimes, Lord, we think in the West we've got it easy. Lord, we know there are things that are happening now that are destructive and disturbing. We know that times like this will come. And we pray, Lord, you'll give us strength to continue in prayer for the world in which we live. Lord, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll sing one more song. We have come into this place. It's number 579.
Thank you.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and heal their land. This was a verse that was mentioned some years ago. It became something very powerful. It's always been there. It's just that it was repeated to many of us, maybe in the last 20 years, as something that we ought to think about. Clearly think about prayer. And the challenge for today is that we revisit prayer again. I want us to look and see what happens when people pray and pray earnestly, because that's a really exciting thing. And I'm not saying you don't pray earnestly here. I know that happens. I was here when it was happening some years ago now, when we were praying that God would bless us. And I can see by new faces this morning for me how blessed you're being. And I know there are several people away for different reasons today. But we need to pray that every seat will be filled, that there is not so many Mr. and Mrs. Woods, but there are people in those seats, that we fill the seats, not with people who don't know Jesus, but with people who know Jesus or are seeking to know Jesus. And I think it's important for us to remember what happened at the beginning of the church, that day of Pentecost. I know we celebrated it a few weeks ago, but I want you to know that at that time, that celebration in Jerusalem was a fantastic affair. The Jerusalem at that time maybe had a population of about 31,000. And at Pentecost, because it was a big celebration, there would be maybe 250,000 people in and around Jerusalem at that time, camping out, staying in the little houses that were there. A great time. I think you could just imagine how exciting it would have been to have been in Jerusalem at that time. Different place now. Bigger population there now, but at that time, it was an important celebration. And at different times of the year, you knew people would come to worship. And we know that the disciples were still very fearful about what would happen to them. And they were all together in one place with one thing in mind. What are we going to do next? What's going to happen next? Where should we go from here? And the place in which they were praying was shaken. I just wonder, and I've said it to some of you here before, I wonder if God will allow us to see some of the possibilities of a replay, an action replay, of what happened all those years ago. Do you think it would? I don't know. But I'd like to think it would happen. I want to see the burning bush. I want to see all the wonderful... I want to see the parting of the sea. I want to see these things. I want to be excited by it. But this is something to be excited about, because these were ordinary men. They were men who were described as fishermen or ordinary folk. And the priests and the Pharisees and those who were in charge said, we have noticed that these men have been with Jesus. Why? Because they spoke clearly a message of the truth. And they spoke at that time as a result of the physical appearance of God in their presence. The Holy Spirit came upon them like tongues of fire. Wow. Now that was a wow for them. And there could have been maybe up to 120 together in that upper room praying that God will bless them. Or there may have been just the 12. But we think there could have been up to 120 there. They were physically together, and they were spiritually in tune, and they had one thing on their mind: to be obedient to what God had said to them. To be obedient to what God had said to them. Obedience isn't an easy thing, is it? When you're told to do something, we don't always want to. There are things that we do that maybe put us in a position where we shouldn't have been. And we're told, get out of that way, out of the way. We're not always keen to do what we're told, but they were being obedient to what Jesus had said. Wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were ready and open. Now, I want to ask you that question. Are you ready for what God can do through you? Are you open to his direction in your life? Because if we're just here this morning just to be together and have a good time, and that's not a problem. But are we ready for what God has for us to do? There are things, it's like going with Operation Mobilization to the Hebrides. The Hebrides, we know, we can read books and find out there was the Hebridean revival. Hebridean revival, and we understand that that really started as a result of two or three older ladies, maybe in their 70s, I don't know, praying. And people were walking past churches, not getting past, they just couldn't go past, they had to go in. Great movement of the Holy Spirit at that time. Pray that that will happen again, and you'll see something of that. But they were obedient, and they were there waiting for what God had for them, and they were ready as well, anticipating that God was going to do something, and they had to be willing to do it, expecting God to give them something as Jesus had promised. Now, I don't know about you, but the promises in the Bible, that there are hundreds and thousands of promises in the Bible for us today. There are promises that God keeps because he made them those years ago, and they're for now as well. There are those who say, well, all the things that happened on the day of Pentecost were just for that time. No, they're for now. That word from Chronicles there, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That's an Old Testament statement that was relevant then and is relevant now. And we need to be people who are ready for what God can do. God wants to open our hearts to all that he has for us. Are you ready? Are you anticipating? I just want to ask those sort of questions because I think it's important that we are ready for what God has to do. If we're ready, God will fill us with what we need for that particular occasion that we're involved in. For that particular time. There have been times in my life where I know the giftings that I have that God has given me, but God has, because there was nobody else there, then I've been able to pray for healing. And we've seen people healed. Because we were there, because I wasn't gifted in other things, but God, there was nobody else there that was gifted for that, then for that moment, God enabled me to be that person at that time to do that particular thing. We need to be ready, because look what happened to the disciples. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, so much so that they overflowed. I know that you probably had things happen in your life that have been very exciting. I know that when we had our children, I only had to tell one relative, and you didn't have to tell anybody else because the message got around so quickly. You rang one and then you rang the other, and oh, we've already heard. It's just how it happens. And in some ways, that's how it ought to be with us who are followers of Christ. We should be so overflowing that when we leave this place, people will say, where have you been? What's different about you this morning? Why are you like you are? And you can say, well, I've been with Jesus. That's an obvious thing. I've been with the Lord. I've been with the Lord's people. I've been with those who love Jesus. It's an important thing for us to do. And the speaking in tongues, it's something that people say, well, it's only for that particular time. No. I have heard people speaking in tongues. I didn't understand them, but I know that there have been people in that congregation who are from another country, and they said, I heard them speaking in my language. So I know it's true. I don't know many Parthians and Medes and Mesopotamians and all those other names that came up. And some of those names are hard to read. But why did they say we hear them speaking in our own language? They could probably understand the local language in Jerusalem. But they said we hear them speaking in our own language. Why would they say that if it wasn't so? Okay. There's always somebody who's going to make a bit of a thing about it. But the languages, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and on, there will always be that opportunity that God will do the miraculous. Now, we might say, why? We don't need that. We've got Google. And we've got Google Translate. But sometimes there's not a good signal. And we may just have to depend on what God has to do for us. There will be always those who take the mickey. There are always those who say all sorts of things. They're drunk, somebody said. And Peter says, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I've not had time to get drunk. But there will be always those who will take the Michael out of you, if you know what I mean. Do you know, that's really nothing, is it? To have somebody laugh at you because of what you believe. There are people like you and I, followers of Jesus, who just now are dying because they're followers of Jesus. There are people in North Korea, in China, in certain Muslim countries around the world, where if they mention Jesus as their saviour, they can be taken out and killed. So being laughed at is nothing, is it? Being insulted is nothing. Lord, give us the courage if we ever have to face that sort of opposition. But look at this. Peter and the other disciples who were afraid and quivering at what might happen, they're on the streets preaching the gospel. And you can imagine that in a city like Jerusalem, at that particular time, because there were so many people around, a little bit of a noise, a little bit of a kerfuffle, and there'd be hundreds of people coming running to hear what was said. It was so obvious that that happened because it says 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. About 3,000, it says. I could have been 4. I don't know. Maybe that's the only number they could reach quickly enough. But I think it's important. What's your reaction to that? Is it a wow? See, I think if there was that sort of revival in Coventry, we would not have the room to house all the people to worship. We'd have to take over the big halls and the big city rooms and the whatever to house the people who come to know Jesus. And that's if we are willing to go out and share the gospel. The message was given by Peter, and he was willing to give it. He was willing to give it. What a fantastic thing. That's the... We've talked about waiting and being obedient and expecting. Here's Peter, not able to keep it in. There's a piece in the Bible where the writer says, if I say I will not speak anymore in the Lord's name, I cannot hold it in. And it makes me weary with holding it in. I ache with holding it in. I think it's really important. That's how the Word of God should react within us, that we cannot stop talking about Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. The sweetest name I know. Approximately 3,000 were added to the church that day. Wow. I suspect they were really excited. Would you be excited? Oh, we're excited if someone comes and knows Jesus for the first time, aren't we? There's excitement inside us and says, I can relate to that. I was there. I know how that feels. I've been there. And 3,000, we'd be excited. There's things happening in our nation at this time. Great Britain, things are happening. Churches are beginning to fill up. People are going to find out about this Jesus. And it's not because of great Billy Graham type crusades. It's just happening. And I believe that's because of prayer. I believe that we are people of prayer, or we ought to be. I think that if each one of us prayed for, I don't know how many people you pray for every day, but let's have a guess. If there's 30 of us here this morning, or 40, I don't know. Let's say that, and we all pray for two people. That's 80 people we're praying for. But I'm sure that you pray for more than just a couple of people each. I suspect you've got a list in your mind of people that you pray for, your family members, those that you care for, that your next door neighbour. Do you know your next door neighbour's name? Do you pray for your next door neighbour by name? We've got Tammy and a daughter whose name Tammy and this is what I do. I do this every day. Their names, and there's Tammy that side. There's Tracy. Joanne and Vicky. And do you know your neighbours' names? Pray for them. That's really important, because just the sort of thing that happened in Jerusalem could happen down your way, down your street. I mean, this street's a long one, isn't it? Alderman's Green Road. If you could remember all the people on Alderman's Green Road, you'd be doing really well. I'm just saying, let's go for the immediate names of the people around us. Those that you know, those that you've seen, those that you've made a contact with. Let's pray for them, because that's where God is going to work. It's exciting. But let me tell you also, along with the growth of the church will come opposition. There'll be those who say, "Hey, now you're drunk. It's all right for you, but that's not for me." That's the sort of response I've heard people say. It's all right for you. That's a crutch to lean on for you. Have you heard people say that? Well, look, they can have the same support as you're getting. Tell them that the crutch is available for them all. That support from God, that love from our Heavenly Father, the one who created heaven and earth, that's the one who we're praying to. If he could create everything that there is, and he did, then all things are possible. Anything is possible. And the kingdom will grow. And if you've got a spare seat in your car, when you come, take a neighbour, bring a neighbour. See if they'll come. Offer the opportunity. You know that there is a thought that says that there's a lot of people in this country who are ready and willing, if they are invited, to come to church. We need to try it out. Try it out. Now is the day of salvation. Do we say it was only for that time? Say no, Peter, it wasn't. It's for now. And God can glorify his name here in Alderman's Green, in Coventry as a whole, to the glory of his name. We've prayed for people this morning by name, not particularly for salvation. But it would be good next week maybe for you to share what God has done for that person we prayed for. Maybe they've had a better week. Maybe they've had an inspiring moment with friends and relatives. Maybe just something special has happened. Think about that as well. But pray for those around you, that they may receive what we have received and know to be the truth. Do you love Jesus? Yes. It's important we tell others, isn't it? So when you go home today and your neighbour says hello and you're smiling, because you've had a great time, haven't you? Please say yes. You've had a great time this morning.
Yes.
Then let your face know. Let them know by your facial expression. And when they ask you, "Where have you been?" You say, "I've been to church, and you know we've been blessed because God was there." Not because Peter Norton was there, but because God's there through his son Jesus, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, we've been blessed. Smile a while, give your face a rest, raise your hands to the one you love the best, then shake hands with one nearby and greet them with a smile. Is that right? Yeah. That was a song we learnt at college, I think. Smile a while, give your face a rest. It takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. You know that, don't you? So let the world know that you are Jesus' follower and give the glory to him. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you that you encourage us in so many ways. Thank you that you have put us where we are for a reason, for a purpose. We pray that we may fulfill your purpose in praying for those around us and helping them to meet you. Glorify your name, Lord, and use us in your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Lee. Tammy and Lee, they live next door to us. Bless you. When you get as old as I am, you'll understand that, won't you? Is that right? Yeah. We were having this discussion before we came in, weren't we? Okay, let's sing a song to finish with, shall we? It's our last song this morning. And I pray that we will go out with praise in our hearts. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Shall we bless each other with a grace, shall we? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.